Apologies to any visitors with us this morning because we are focusing a little bit on our own church, but I pray that you can take some of the truths home with you to your churches. We could have the PowerPoint. Thank you. That's called Fireball. It's at a place called Pleasurewood Hills, which is just outside Lowestoft. We went there years ago when the children were smaller, and my brother-in-law, who is quite witty, we saw, I don't know if it was actually that particular ride, but we saw something similar when we were getting out of the cars, and he said, "That's to turn you upside down so that the money falls out of your pockets." We could have some sound effects, I think. Have you got the jam jars there? Yeah, thank you. It's my dubious pleasure this morning to come along and turn you all upside down so that the money falls out of your pockets. To come straight to the point, two issues relating to the All Saints budget need to be resolved. The first is a predicted shortfall in our giving this year, in 2013, of approximately £11,000. A half night of prayer followed by a gift day is planned for next weekend in order to address this shortfall. And the second issue is the longer term one of how we are to avoid being in this position again next year in 2014. I intend to address these issues in a moment by looking at six fundamental questions about giving. But first, I would like to make it clear that we're talking about a shortfall in our day-to-day running costs as a church, along with our commitment to tithing to mission. About half of that £11,000, if we can raise it next week, will actually go to mission. Much of the church refurbishment work and redecoration is paid for from entirely separate funds, which are ring-fenced and cannot be used for everyday running costs. I hope that that preempts the question which asks, how can we possibly afford to refurbish if we are so short of funds? Before we look at the six questions, a couple of statistics to give us some perspective. If you own a car, you are amongst the wealthiest 5% of the world population. And no, it doesn't have to be a car like that. 3 billion people live on less than $2.50 per day. That's about £1.50. At least 80% of humanity lives on less than $10 per day. That's about £6.25. These are the six questions that we're going to look at. I'll just pause for a moment and let you read those. Question one, to whom or to what should we give? Well, there's a list of ideas there, and you could probably add many more things to that list. There are lots of demands these days, especially with emails and the internet, on our giving, where we should be giving. Well, in a moment, I'd like to look at two very fundamental changes in this church's approach to giving, which have evolved over the past 3 years. But first, let's have another look at that passage from Acts chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is our strategy here at All Saints. Our vision is that we should grow to be more and more like that Acts chapter 2 church. We are a fellowship of believers supporting and encouraging one another along the way. A few moments ago, we watched that wonderful video put together for us by Andy Mutter, and it reminded us of the people that we are and the things that we do together. We meet together this morning to worship God together, so that each one of us can be strengthened and encouraged in our faith. And by that faith, we pray that the Lord will indeed add to our number daily. In the last few verses of Acts chapter 11, when Barnabas and Saul were in Antioch, some prophets came along from Jerusalem. One of them, called Agabus, predicted a severe famine over the entire Roman world. What would we have done if we'd heard this? Panic buy? Clear the supermarket shelves? Look after number one? What did the disciples in Antioch do? They took up an offering to be taken to Judea. Why to Judea? Because that is where their spiritual roots were. They wanted to honour the source of the gospel that brought salvation to their own souls. Where is your identity? Where are your spiritual roots? All Saints Church has been my spiritual home for 20 years or so. For some of you, it's a great deal longer than that. I find it a real privilege to bring honour to my spiritual home, and I pray that we will bring honour together when we offer our gifts next weekend and when we make our pledges for next year. You see, we need this church, we need each other, and so as we think about our giving, let's focus on what our church needs from us and direct our giving accordingly. On the practical side, the fundamental changes in our approach to giving are these. Firstly, we now have our own All Saints budget, and that gives us a real sense of ownership. If there is a problem, we can own it and address it together. Secondly, we as a church have pledged to tithe 10% of our giving to mission. And this is the change which may have the most influence when it comes to thinking about our own personal giving strategy and where our regular giving is directed. In my own case, I have several standing orders, but I've discovered since it's been our policy to tithe to mission, and there's a leaflet at the back if you haven't already got one of those, of the missions that we support in prayer and in tithing and in funding, and I've found that actually some of my giving is repeated because I'm giving to the church who is now also giving to these missions. So it may be that when we look at our standing orders and think about our regular giving here, we might just need to adjust the scale slightly and say, well, perhaps we should be giving a bit more to the church and a bit less to other things, because the church is now doing this, and it wasn't doing this 3 years ago. It's something new. We give away 10% of the money that you give. So that's something to think about. How should we give? Well, treasurers like regular planned giving, standing orders. And if you've never done this, then please think about doing it. It doesn't have to be a lot, it can be a few pounds a month, or it can be lots of pounds a month, but if you've never done it, then the treasurer would like you to do it. If you already do it, when did you last review your monthly contribution? Have you been giving the same amount for the last 10 years? If so, maybe it's time to think about it. If you're a taxpayer, please make the effort to fill in a gift aid form. Sometimes we can't be bothered to do these things, but next year we need £90,000 nearly as a church. Our budget for next year is £90,000 If every single person is able to gift aid, we actually only need £72,000 because the other £18,000 will come from the government. Please fill in your gift aid forms. The other ways of giving, of course, which some of you do, put your money in the envelopes, in the weekly collection bag as it goes round, and don't forget the one-off giving when you have a windfall, perhaps. Don't forget the church when that happens. When should we give? Well, I've just answered that question partly in terms of whether we give monthly or weekly or yearly or whatever it is. But in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops." And the New International Version Concordance has about approximately 30 references to first fruits. So when you receive that windfall, when you sell your Royal Mail shares, when Great Aunt Gwendolyn dies and leaves you £100,000, don't wait until tomorrow or next week or the end of the tax year or whenever. Bring your tithe to God now. I love this verse from Exodus. "Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God." Isn't that what God wants us to do next week with our gift day and then onwards into 2014? Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. The big question, how much should we give? Well, I can't answer this question for each of you individually. It's a private and personal matter between you and your Father in heaven. You each need to draw close to God in prayer about this and earnestly seek His wisdom and His will. All I can do is to give you some pointers and to share with you, just as Ted Pratt did earlier this year, what God has said to me about giving in my years as a Christian. David's going to help me in a moment. Just as there are around 30 references to first fruits in the NIV, there are a similar number of references to tithing, the practice of bringing a tenth of what we have to God. I hope you will enjoy this short sketch, which will give you a flavour of my own God-given promptings about how much I should give. God, I hope you don't mind my asking, but you know all that stuff about tithing. You're not really expecting me to give away a tenth of my money, are you?
Well, actually, Tim, it would be good if you did.
But isn't that a bit old hat, God? A bit OT, Old Testament and over the top? Surely in this day and age, with inflation and the credit crunch and all that, wouldn't 5% be quite a lot to give away?
It might be quite a lot, Tim, but a tenth would be even better.
Oh, I see. Well, presumably you mean a tenth of my regular income.
I think you might have some other income, Tim.
Well, I get a bit of interest on my savings. You don't want a tenth of that as well, do you?
You're getting the idea, Tim.
But, well, I sort of try to put that money aside for a rainy day, God.
Do you really not trust me enough to provide for you when your rainy day appears?
Oh, well, yes, I suppose I do. I hadn't really thought of it like that.
Tim, didn't you have some more mail shares?
Well, a tenth of those, I suppose.
That'd be good, Tim. And what about that windfall Aunt Fanny left for you?
A tenth, I guess, Lord.
That would be great, Tim, but I tell you what.
What?
When you give me a tenth of all that you have.
Yes, God.
Then you can keep the other 90% entirely for your own benefit.
Wow. Thanks, God. There is a proviso. I'm acutely aware that there are some of us here today who do not need to hold on to 90% of our wealth. just as there are others who very much need to hold on to every penny that comes their way. Thank God that we strive to be an Acts chapter 2 church. And the other thought is that Andrew was talking about legalism last week, and we are not bound by the law. We are not bound to give 10%. We are free to give 10% if we so wish. We have that as a biblical guideline. Before we leave this question of how much we should give, I would like to share another thought with you. The follow-on from that verse that we looked at from Proverbs 3:9. Lost it. Next one. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. The follow-on comes in verse 10, and it says this: then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. There we are, there it is. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, which Pauline read to us, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. About 15 years ago, Sally and I made a decision to actually give away a substantial sum of money. It was a large amount, and my hand was shaking as I wrote the check and took it and delivered it. But within a couple of weeks, and then leading on into a time approximately 6 months later, the Lord opened the floodgates of heaven, and he poured out so much blessing that there was barely enough room to store it. He really blessed us at that time. He just said, thank you for that gift, and here it is, I'm giving it back to you. How can we give away more than we do already? Well, just a very quick recap here. Commit. Have you made a commitment to regular giving? Have you reviewed your standing order recently? Have you made a commitment to tithing if you can afford to do so? Have you filled in a gift aid declaration if you are a taxpayer? Have you thought about leaving a legacy in your will? And there's a leaflet in the letter about that that you'll get later. And just another thought which I had, have you done with your, perhaps an investment advisor, have you done any inheritance tax planning? Would you prefer your children to give 10% of their inheritance to God or 40% to the government? The second part of this question, how can we give more, has to do with stewardship. God is also interested in the 90% that he lets us keep. And by being good stewards of that 90%, it will probably enable us to give away a bit more. Did you sign up for the Royal Mail share offer? I did, and I sold the shares immediately and reinvested the original sum. It would have taken me 20 to 30 years in a standard building society account to make what I made in one day. And as I'm a taxpayer, I would have had to pay tax on the building society interest. Not the case, however, on my gain from selling the shares. And at around the same time, Scottish and Southern Energy was the first company to announce an increase of 8.4% in its charges. Did that make you think about your energy costs and whether you might switch? I did, and I switched. And as a result, I will save approximately £250 on my electricity bills over the next 15 months. The combination of those two things has enabled me to write out a cheque, which I'm going to put in next weekend for the gift day. Doing those two things didn't cost me any money at all. They just cost me a few minutes of my time. We suffer from apathy sometimes in the Western world, the I can't really be bothered syndrome. Well, if it doesn't matter to you, maybe you could make the effort for God. So go home and have a look at your energy bills. keep your eye out for the next IPO. It is rumoured that it might be a certain bank. Christians and others have spent the last 5 years pointing their fingers at the banks. Perhaps we should take a look in the mirror instead to see who it is that is driving the consumerism that drives the banks. If you think banks and energy companies are greedy, I challenge you to get on board and to bring some of that profit into God's house. See how much you can save on your house insurance next time it comes up. What about the contents of your house? What about your car insurance? Do you just pay them all and have done with it? Or maybe you could save 10, 20, 30 pounds and bring that into God's house too. Think about what you might spend in the run-up to Christmas. A report published on the 14th of October predicted that £88.4 billion will be spent in shops and online in the last 3 months of this year. That's about £3,300 per household. Is there something which your household could manage without this Christmas? Be proactive with what you have. Don't be like the servant who Jesus describes as wicked and lazy in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26, because he's hidden his talent in the ground. When John Wesley wrote a sermon on the parable of the talents, he told his listeners that the disciple must keep a good eye and a healthy mind on their investments. And Mark Green, who's director of the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, wrote in Christianity magazine, "I'm not anti-business any more than the Bible is, and it isn't. Indeed, there is no poverty alleviation without wealth generation." The last question, the final question, what next? Well, I've got five things at the top there. Read, pray, give, pledge, and the jam jar challenge. We each have a letter from Andrew containing a giving leaflet, obviously the letter itself, a giving leaflet, a legacy leaflet, and a pledge form. Please take this home and read it all through carefully. Give all this to God in prayer. Give it to God in prayer yourselves, at home, with others. And on Friday night this coming week, there's a half night of prayer here from 7:30 till midnight. Please come along and pray. You don't have to come for all of it. Come along for a short time. Bring along an abundance of first fruits to the gift day next weekend. Think about your commitment to regular giving in 2014 and the pledges that you might make. Fill in the pledge form and bring that along as well to the gift day next weekend. In addition to your regular giving and the giving that you do, this was my idea, so you can blame me for it. The jam jar challenge, most of you have got the jam jars and you can see the idea. That jam jar, I've got a full one here. It holds, if it's jam-packed full, it holds £90. So you've got about 90 days between now and the 16th of February to see if you can fit £90 coins into that jar and bring it along on the 16th of February. This is as an extra. And if it works, we'll perhaps carry on and do it from February to May, and then May till whenever the next time is. And that actually will raise a huge amount of money if everybody does it. It will raise a huge amount of money. So I offer it to you as a challenge. I take it we all know who that is. Mother Teresa, who dedicated her life to working amongst the poorest of the poor in the slums of Calcutta. It doesn't matter what the small print says, I just want to read you the big print. Before you can give to others, you need to have enough for yourself. Mother Teresa had 2 saris and a bucket. That's all she had left. Those were her only earthly possessions. 2 saris and a bucket. Amen.